The content shared on Your Life, Your Wealth Network reflects the views of the host and guests of the program only and are not necessarily the views of Cordasco Financial Network or its advisors. This media production is educational in nature and should not be construed as financial, legal, or tax advice or a solicitation or presentation of sale of any financial products or services. Please consult a professional prior to making any financial, tax, or legal decisions. Welcome to the Your Life, Your Wealth Network. Helping you find clarity and comfort for your life and wealth. Now, here's your host, financial advisor, and CEO of Cordasco Financial Network, Steve Cordasco.
And hello, welcome to Your Life, Your Wealth. I'm Steve Cordasco. We got a great show planned for you today. Here's what's affecting your life and your wealth. Critics took a big bite out of Apple this week. I'll explain what's going on with the tech giant and what their struggles mean to you. We'll pull it into some local stocks as well. Comcast announcing this week it's buying DreamWorks, and it's getting some criticism for that, as well as Hershey's making an adjustment to Americans eating less candy. Tell you why they're in the jerky business now. We'll talk about the Pennsylvania primary winners with Jim Tankersley of the Washington Post. He'll be on the show to break down Trump's trade policy with China. Is it the right move for the U.S. economy? By the way, Donald Trump and Hillary Clinton share an address. How about that? Are they conspiring? Is it a tax dodge situation? I'll explain. And now let's go to our first guest. I'm here with Teresa Ghirarducci. Teresa is a nationally recognized expert in retirement security and an expert in economics at the New School for Social Research. Teresa, thanks for joining the program.
Oh, sure.
You've described the 401k system as being toxic. Can you explain a little more about that and why it is toxic or a broken system?
Well, let's first talk about why the 401k system needs a competitor. They have failed on almost all counts to help people save for retirement. Now, 401ks can often be better than nothing at all, but they have failed in the social goal of having people prepare for retirement. They are voluntary. The employer can decide to have one or not. Once the employer decides to have one, they're a sponsored one, the employee can decide to contribute or not. They are individually directed. So the worker has to decide where to optimally put their portfolio, and nobody who's not a professional investor is really equipped to is equipped to do that. And third, you can take money out of your 401k, you can borrow against it, and because human beings have human lives, many people have to draw out money before they can retire. And it's not because they're stupid or impulsive, it's because we live ordinary lives. So they really fail to help people accumulate enough assets for retirement.
Sure. So let's go back originally. So this would be a piggyback or a shotgun type or program to ride side by side with a 401k program?
Yeah, right. Shotgun probably doesn't have a good connotation.
No. Sidecar, that's what I meant.
Yeah. It's like a competitor product. Exactly.
So it would be a competitor product. So let's say a business owner, right, has now an option of, let's say, going with this new retirement system, right? Let's call it a mandate system versus...
We call it a guaranteed retirement account. They can go to that system, or they could stick with their 401k plan. Or, what they can't do under our plan is decide to do nothing. They have to pick their commercial 401k plans, go with the government plans, but they won't be able to choose nothing.
But don't folks today have the option also, for example, they don't do a 401k? Doesn't the IRA system sort of ride sidecar?
No, that's a great question. So here is what people have today. They go to an employer, and let's say the employer doesn't provide anything. And most medium-sized and small employers don't, but a lot of big employers don't either. So then the employee can say, well, I'll go with an individual retirement account. The problem with an individual retirement account, it's not connected to your paycheck. And so you have to make an affirmative decision, maybe every paycheck or every year, to contribute enough. And people aren't built that way. If you, and we already know that, and again, it's not people's fault, but the way that people save for retirement is conveniently and consistently saving from every paycheck. I don't know, maybe you're an exception and that you can actually mail a check to your IRA, but I know I wouldn't. So
why wouldn't you? I mean, so...
Well, because some people would, but a lot of people don't have the discipline or it's just too hard. It's much more convenient to have it taken out of your check before you see it.
See, and that's the struggle, I guess, because I just don't see how, if I look at maybe this new type of proposed retirement system, a set rate of return, right? Let's call it an insurance industry rate of return, ever being able to keep up long term.
Pull you back from that. You're right. The challenge for all of us who are saving, whether or not we do it conveniently or like you say, you've learned your lesson and you affirmatively put money in your IRA every pay period or every year. And so that's the first problem. Let's say we surmounted that problem, that people are saving. I just look at the evidence. People don't do it, but if we can convince people to do it, okay, that we solved that problem. Everybody contributes. And then the next problem is that people have to get a decent rate of return. And these days, and I'm hearing your pain because I'm feeling your pain, if you put your money in a safe asset, you just don't grow. And so if you want to reach a target and you only get 2%, you have to save three times more than if you even got 6%. So we all face really challenging times. But just to get to the specifics of our plan, we want to give everybody the opportunity to earn the high rates of return that people who are lucky enough, who are rich enough, or what you call the haves.
Or just discipline, let's say. Discipline, right?
The first part is about discipline. I'm with you there. The second part is just the advantages you have to be able to save in a high-yielding, diversified, low-volatility account. And you can't do that on your own because you have to go to the retail funds. You need to be in a big pooled investment, completely commercial, completely private sector, but that lowers the fees for you and gets you a whole host of assets. You need growth equity. You need private equity. You need a little hedging. You need a little fancy stuff. You need what the big boys have.
But who's doing that?
Which is, So right now, I'm lucky because I'm in a diversified pooled and institutional fund. The COPS of Philadelphia, they're in a defined benefit plan. They get a much higher return than you or I do in a retail plan because their fees are lower and they have more diversified assets. So I want that for everybody.
But I could argue that because if I look at where they're invested in hedge funds and private equity and all that other kind of stuff, but the costs are outrageous. I mean, even Warren Buffett said...
Yeah, but they're a lot better than you'll ever get. And you're right.
But we don't know.
But look at the institutional plans get a much higher rate of return for lower fees than you or I can get on our own.
But if I manage a 401k for clients, many of those 401ks are able to use institutional funds. The bigger companies are able to.
Yeah, you know what those bigger companies are doing though? They're playing it safe. They're not, and they also are a little bit lazy because they pass the administrative fees on to the employees.
But isn't things like that easier to change than coming up, which really, and let me just kind of cut to the chase. This looks like a pool of dollars that will now have government involved with. And it looks like it's building pools of dollars. I'm worried that I got an issue with Tony James because I see a lot of private equity companies buying up insurance companies, which in the past they would have never bought because those rich folks like the ones in Philadelphia that have those private equities that can do much better than what you just said you and I can do. They don't buy those insurance companies because they can't get that return. So something's going on at the reason why they would buy insurance industry companies, which historically are not high, fast growth that they can flip for a big profit. So I smell something bad here.
Oh, no. I really like that we're having this discussion on a philosophical and just like a detailed level. So I absolutely share suspicion of Wall Street and of banks and insurance companies. And that's why my plan, there's my heart and soul and brains are in it, require a very public, transparent board of directors. And I don't want the government just to take the money in a sovereign wealth fund and then just manage it and tell us all, hey, you know, trust us. I don't. So our plan very much focuses in on the governance and the conflict of interest, you know, that can arise. And the board of governors will be fiduciaries. They can be removed. They can be sued if they don't run the plan according to our needs, which is high return for low fees. And I'm telling you, Steve, that right now we don't have people investing for us, and we are in a big, and I say we as a big group of American workers, mm-hmm. Are not capable of being able to have the bargaining power to get those fees down. We need to do it in some other way. Now, do you want just an expansion of Social Security and then let people like us just go out in the market? Is that a better plan for you?
No, I guess
we have to do something.
Yeah, and so I believe that, look, I sort of like Robert Shiller's take on things, and I know both both of you end up in front of Congress a lot. If we're going to give tax incentives for individuals and companies to participate in retirement plans, right, 401k system, I agree, and I think we can all come to common ground that it's ludicrous to allow somebody to just go in and start investing when they don't know anything about it. I believe we need to come up with a system where people need to have a plan first, and maybe there's some type of incentive to get people to have a financial plan before they even get any type of incentive to invest, because then they can see what the power of compounding looks like. They can have a roadmap called a GPS system.
Right.
I mean, we don't get in our car and just head off and start driving anymore today, even if we know where we're going. We need to have something there to guide us a little bit. So I would rather see something where people can feel empowered and be able to make their decisions than mandates.
Yeah, yeah.
And that's what scares me. When I see mandate,
no, I get that.
It labels you, it labels me, it labels everybody to say, hey, look, we're just not grown up enough to take care of our own money, so somebody has to do it for us. And every time something ventures off into through Congress or within the government, mm-hmm. it never seems, I don't care what the fees of a mutual fund or investment are, if you give the government a buck, it's tenfold more than what any cost is going to be on an investment today.
Well, you know, I'm suspicious of them all, of government, you know, mandating and then saying, look, I have a monopoly. It's like the cable company. You can't penetrate it.
Right.
And but all my expertise and research on the 401k and the IRA industry makes me just as suspicious and appalled at the kind of fees that they're charging people. So I'm with you. I want to come together and figure out a way to make sure that everybody, because we're going to have to take care of poor people who are old if we don't manage, help them be responsible and save.
Yep.
And I think throwing tax breaks at them is just a big waste of money. So the system is really broken, and it's really expensive.
Teresa, thank you so much. I appreciate really the good work you're doing. Give somebody a tip. I have about 30 seconds. What should somebody do right now based on what we have to save for retirement?
I really want to help people. They should contribute to an IRA or a 401k to the maximum, you know, curb your spending and save, but go to Vanguard. I don't shill for them. I have no relationship with them, but they provide the lowest fees. That's the only darn way you're going to get a rate of return in this kind of environment is to lower those fees.
Great. Thank you. That's Teresa Ghiarducci. Thank you so much for the work that you do and the passion you have for trying to help people get ahead with their money. Take care.
Great conversation. Thank you. Bye-bye.
Thanks. Bye-bye. And ladies and gentlemen, speaking of Vanguard, when I return, we'll talk about Jack Bogle. He had some big noise this week talking about the market and the lower returns in the market. I also want to talk more about the 401k system. Is it the system that's the problem, or is it we, the people, with a bad attitude, lack of satisfaction, needing satisfaction now, lack of education? We're gonna flush it out. We're going to talk deep about it. Don't forget my article post this week in the Philadelphia Business Journal on this exact topic, on the topic of the plan that could end your 401k as we know it. We'll come back. We'll talk about it. Keep it here on Your Life, Your Wealth. I'm Steve Cordasco.
Hey, Rich Hilly here. My friend Steve Cordasco, financial advisor and founder of Cordasco Financial Network, is back with a new retirement guide called Your Plan to a Successful Retirement. This guide is packed with helpful tips like how to make a retirement plan work for you, how to successfully generate cash flow in retirement, and how to utilize great tax saving strategies. This guide also uncovers the best practices to reduce stock market stress, how to find investment solutions that match your risk tolerance, and how to bring comfort and clarity to your retirement. Whether you are taking the first steps to retirement planning and don't know where to start, are in pre-retirement and looking to accumulate wealth, or already retired and looking to preserve your wealth, you should get a copy of Steve Cordasco's guide, Your Plan to a Successful Retirement, and it's totally free. Get your copy right now at cfnplan.com. That's CFN, and as in network, plan.com. Go right now to cfnplan.com.
And welcome back to Your Life, Your Wealth. I'm Steve Cordasco. So happy you're part of the program. So what do you think? Is our 401k system broken? Does it need an overhaul? Does it need to be scrapped altogether and a whole new program be recreated? Or is it fair enough to say, hey, let's create another program to ride alongside the 401k system? Love to hear from you. More questions are, what is the problem with the current 401k and saving for retirement system? Is it we the people? Or is it actually the technical side of the type of retirement accounts that we're allowed to participate in? The people or the system? I often hear from business owners who have retirement plans that lack of participation comes because there's bad attitude from employees, meaning the employees don't come to work so much with a bad attitude, but there is usually a correlation. I talked to a business owner not long ago who has a Pennsylvania-based manufacturing business, happens to be in plastics, and talks about, you know, when I get together with the employees and talk about, you know, rally the troops around the 401k, I get, you know, almost argumentative anger from people saying, I don't want that thing, we shouldn't have to do that, and they get loud and boisterous. And this particular individual said, same type of people that have a little bit chip on their shoulder at work day in and day out. It's just a bad attitude towards the program, and where it comes in is lack of trust, is what I kind of pushed this business owner to kind of open up and say, well, what are they worried about? Well, they think that I'm taking their money. They think that if they do it, I'm getting something out of it. So I went back and said, well, maybe there's a morale issue at work. Maybe you need to talk to them about, you know, how to like being there. I don't have time. I'm running around. I'm bringing business in. So it's a struggle to get to the root of what the real cause is by blaming the people. Can you really blame them? Now, I can show you evidence we probably should blame some folks. Why? Because the 401k system, technically, the way it's designed, allows us to raid our own accounts. Yeah, run in there and pull money out. I've seen money pulled out over my 25-plus years of helping people invest and manage wealth. The craziest things you've ever seen. I've seen folks pull money out of their 401k plan, pay the penalty, pay the tax, of which it all can equate to a sizable amount of money. In some cases, almost 50%, 40, 50%. You're giving up half in the form of penalties and tax, and then run off and buy Super Bowl tickets. Yes, I'm going to tell you, I saw it in the city of Philadelphia when the Eagles made it to the Super Bowl. So we can create our own damage to ourselves. And this is where I think Teresa Ghirarducci was going and saying, you know what? Some of us just aren't mature enough. So we got to come in with a blanket program or else we're all going to be paying for those other folks. At what point do you say, look, there's enough cases out there where there are good people who have done extremely well for themselves by doing what they're supposed to do. Take advantage of investment programs that are offered through work. or that our tax code allows us to participate in. If it's not a work-related plan, you have IRAs and other type of retirement savings vehicles that you can put money into. Should those folks be punished into some type of mandated system? Think about this. Should they be punished later on down the road because they may have performed better than some type of program that gives a guaranteed low rate of return, like maybe 2 or 3%? And boy, doesn't this all sound like flashbacks of when they were creating a Social Security system? And that how it's going to be there for you down the road, and something happens when you get in later years, when you hit a certain age, you're going to have some money coming into you. Well, now we're hearing noise that money may not be there. Now, I don't believe that. But there's a heck of a lot of people out there who believe that. And when you create pools of money that other people can control, that scares me. I'd love to hear what you have to say. Please weigh in and tell me what you think. You can email me, steve@cfnplan.com. That's steve@cfn. That's CFN as in network, plan.com. You can also, on Twitter, hit me up at CFNplan. It's @CFNplan. By the way, I'm very active on Twitter. It's one of my new love technologies. Like it lots. So please follow me, @CFNplan. Also, Facebook.com/CFNplan. The CFN is for Cardasco Financial Network Plan. So it's just abbreviated. Love to hear from you. What's your take? My view, it's on both sides. Lots to do with the people. The people that just have bad attitudes, don't trust the system, don't want to participate in it. It's tied to my employer, don't want anything to do with it. And some of it's with the whole 401k technical side of what they can do. I find it baffling that if employees who are lower on the income scale don't participate or participate too little, that those that are on the upper income side, who might be in upper management or owners, get money sent back to them before the end of the year. Why? Because there's something called discriminatory testing. That's right. If you're doing what you need to do to put away for your retirement and a percentage of people are not, it weighs against those that are doing what they're supposed to. With the whole goal that maybe there's create a motivation to try to get more people to participate. At the end of the day, a lot of business owners are just saying, you know what? Let people go do what they want. I'm not even going to put a plan in place. Because at the end of the day, it's a lot of work I got to do to tell people to take care of themselves down the road. The problem is in today's small, mid-sized business environment, with so much regulation, so much overhead that you have to do, and such a fight to make an entity ongoing and survive another day. Business owners are saying, we just don't have time. We don't have an HR department to, we want people, we'll do what we need to do to a point where it can't get in the way and interrupt business. So it's a fascinating discussion. You can check out more of this topic by listening to our podcast, but also right now, if you go to Philadelphia Business Journal, they just posted my most recent article. I write pieces for the Philadelphia Business Journal, and my current piece is titled "The Plan That Could End Your 401k as We Know It" by Steve Cardasco. So jump in there, check it out. Love to get some feedback from you. Real quick, before I shift gears, I have some info on success in retirement and where success comes from. And it's very clear cut and very specific where those that are successful in their retired years all seem to follow the same type of model. What they do is they start investing in the early years. Next, they do participate in their company's plan. And check this out. On a personal level, they have a positive attitude and they keep busy and continually look to learn because they want to secure their future. These are studies that have been done. This piece happens to be coming from CBS MarketWatch, where there's data analyzed on this. So think about that when we consider whether it is the people or it is the system. Positive attitude, upbeat, much higher success rate when it comes to planning for retirement. And bottom line is, as I say in my piece in the Philadelphia Business Journal, you got to get a plan. Those that have a plan fare better than those that do not. Most people that I talk to who go into a company and they start putting money into a retirement plan never even considered putting a plan together, right? Because the 401k is called a plan. But no, you need a written roadmap, just like a GPS system or a old traditional map that tells you how to get from point A to point B. Now, let's shift gears. I want to talk about some individual stocks. Big news this week. Apple took it on the chin. For the first time in over 10 years, sales were down at the darling tech stock. I tell you, I'm a big fan of Apple. Love the products. I'm addicted to the operating system. I am. I'm a junkie, I got to tell you. Doesn't mean I buy the stock. To me, the stock has been one of those things that I just can't get comfortable because of valuation. Well, the stock took it on the chin. It was down almost 10% at one point intraday when they missed their earnings. Ended up being off 8%. Throughout the week, it's banged down and around 10%, 8%. Carl Icahn, it just came out. He was a big percentage holder, had about 1% of the stock. Ended up selling his prior to the earnings announcement. What's that all about? But here's what it means to you, at least on the surface. And you might say, well, I don't own Apple, so it doesn't really mean much to me. Well, if you're an investor and you own the S&P 500 or total stock market index, you own some Apple. How much Apple do you own if you have an S&P 500 fund? Let's say it's a Vanguard fund or just a regular indexed S&P 500 fund. As much as 3% of the S&P is Apple. So Apple's down 10%. Good chance that that S&P fund is down 10% as well. Plus, all the techs got drugged down with the thing. Let's also talk about some local companies. Comcast. Comcast buys DreamWorks. They're hooking up. Many are saying they paid too much. There's some noise out there saying Comcast paid a value of about $4.1 billion. That's about 35 times EBITDA. That's twice the multiple that Disney paid for Lucasfilms. Star Wars? Many thought that was a huge number. And over 16 times for Marvel that was bought in 2009. We'll have to see. Comcast wants content. There's animation. They felt the animation part of DreamWorks was what the premium was worth on this thing. Time will tell. We don't own Comcast. Don't own Apple. But good to talk about it. Let's talk about another local company, Hershey's. They just made a beefy purchase. They bought Crave, which is the maker of beef jerky. Yeah, this guy out in Sonoma, California, kind of a, you know, nature guy, marathon runner. He was kind of a workout guy. He was looking for a snack to have that would help him recharge. He created beef jerky. Now, Hershey buys beef jerky because sales of candy is argued to be down here in the U.S. Maybe you want to blame Michelle Obama for it. I don't know. Maybe just moms and dads being more on their kids and trying to get them healthy. I don't know if beef jerky is actually healthy, but guess what? You go into a Walmart, you're at the checkout line, you're seeing a lot of beef jerky. Well, they're getting in on the action. They're also being criticized for the jerky deal. Look, all this noise with these stocks, bottom line is it's difficult out there. We're in a difficult business environment. Some economic numbers came out this week. We could be on the verge of recession. And more companies are struggling to keep up, right? We had rapid growth at Apple. They've now gone into growth mode. But because it went from rapid to growth, a slowdown, they're getting beat up. Same things happen at Hershey's. Comcast is struggling to keep up. Bottom line is, times are changing. These companies adapt to change. What you need to do now is look at your own situation and say, are things changing in my life? Maybe you're a little closer to retirement. How are you adapting and changing? And what are you going to do with your own financial future, just as these companies are doing? Maybe you're in retirement. What are you doing to adapt to a changing environment? Maybe lower interest rates or lower returns. You need to think about that. Love to hear from you. Tell me what you think. You can email me, steve@cfnplan.com, steve@cfnplan.com. You can also follow me on Twitter, @cfnplan.
Also, loved for you to give some feedback to us. Feel free to write me. Also, don't forget, you can get my retirement guide, which can help guide you and give you some direction if retirement is a concern. Just go to cfnplan.com. I'm Steve Cardasco. When I come back, is Donald Trump right about China taking all of our jobs? We'll talk to the Washington Post, Jim Tankersley, about that exact agenda and see if it really makes sense. Keep it here on the Your Life, Your Wealth Network. I'm Steve Cardasco.
Hey, Rich Hilly here. My friend Steve Cardasco, financial advisor and founder of Cardasco Financial Network, is back with a new retirement guide called Your Plan to a Successful Retirement. This guide is packed with helpful tips like how to make a retirement plan work for you, how to successfully generate cash flow in retirement, and how to utilize great tax saving strategies. This guide also uncovers the best practices to reduce stock market stress, how to find investment solutions that match your risk tolerance, and how to bring comfort and clarity to your retirement. Whether you are taking the first steps to retirement planning and don't know where to start, are in pre-retirement and looking to accumulate wealth, or already retired and looking to preserve your wealth, you should get a copy of Steve Cardasco's guide, Your Plan to a Successful Retirement, and it's totally free. Get your copy right now at cfnplan.com. That's CFN, N as in network, plan.com. Go right now to cfnplan.com.
And welcome back. I'm talking to Jim Tankersley of the Washington Post. He's here to discuss Donald Trump's comments on trade with China. Here's Jim. Welcome to the show.
Thanks so much for having me.
Yeah, thanks for joining us. Let's jump into it. Donald Trump, obviously, beside Mexico being a target, we have China as a target. Explain why Donald Trump is concerned with China regarding trade.
Well, he's concerned because there's very good evidence that trade with China has cost the United States manufacturing jobs. That as we opened up trade with China over the last about 17 years now, that has absolutely reduced the number of factory jobs in America by about a million, based on the best research that's out there, and then probably another million and a half or so other jobs have also gone away as a result. So he likes to use that, what he calls China beating us on trade, mm-hmm. as an example of a way he could bring jobs back to the United States by changing the nature of trade with China so that it's more favorable to us.
So how does he plan on changing that trend? What is he mapping out to solve the problem?
Well, he has a fairly blunt instrument that he brings up fairly often, which is called a tariff. He's mentioned up to a 45% tariff, which is basically just a tax on imports from China. He says he would threaten that, possibly even implement it, and that when he does that, that's going to force companies to move jobs back here, that's going to force the Chinese to negotiate with us, and we're just going to end up with much better terms of trade as a result.
But does he give how much higher those tariffs would have to be, or what the average tariff would be?
He's talking 45%, which is a lot.
That's, wow.
That's a big tariff. And that's, you know, it's Trump, so the details sometimes move a little bit, and he doesn't always stick to them. But that is the number that he has sort of laid out there most often and left as a target.
Now, your work at Washington Post, as you, you know, look at stories and follow the sound bites and the movers and shakers who are kind of weighing in on the topic, overall, is Trump's plan for managing trade with China sensible for the American economy from what you can gather of what you're hearing?
Well, I really wanted to get a more than just a guess answer on that and get something empirical. So I put out a call for modeling, asked some economists basically if they could build a projection of what the country's economy might look like if we implemented those tariffs.
Mm-hmm.
So Moody's Analytics, which is a very respected economic modeling firm, and a guy named Mark Zandi, who's an economist there who used to advise John McCain, did a model for us. And that model found that it was sort of the opposite of what Trump claimed, that probably what would happen if we implemented those tariffs is not that a bunch of jobs would come back, that we would end up pushing ourselves, and China, by the way, into a recession.
Yeah, I get that too. And a lot of my facts show the same thing. You know, Moody's Andy's local guy. We're here outside of Philadelphia. And as I dig in and look at, you know, Trump's approach to China, it scares me. Doesn't mean that I'm against Trump for president. It just means that I wonder how much this thing has been thought out and whether or not it's just a way to win over a group of the population, meaning it's the story for now. But once elected, whether or not it actually can be executed. One, we can go back and look at the Great Depression. Some would argue that tariffs were what triggered basically problems in our economy, correct?
Right. Yeah, no, you hear that argument a lot from economists. And you know, first off, it's important to note that some other folks have done well since Andy did this for me. But they have found smaller effects, but mostly negative. Not a lot of people. I've yet to see a model that projects anything close to the kind of positive effects that Trump suggests would happen from tariffs. Now, here's the other thing that's interesting that's happened is that some of Trump's, I wouldn't call them allies, but conservatives, particularly supply side Republicans, who look fondly upon Trump's tax plan, have basically told me that they don't think he's ever going to implement a tariff, that he'll just threaten it, and that threat will be enough, and that China will negotiate on currency and some other things, and that he'll actually end up being very free trade, just with, you know, modified rules for it, and he will never implement these things that he's threatening because he's such a good negotiator.
Right.
I mean, that's one way of looking at it, but that is not what Trump is saying. You have to have a credible threat, I guess, and the credible threat is he's saying he would implement tariffs.
No, and I have to think that way too, because one thing in business, at least I, as an entrepreneur, know that it's okay to change directions and to change your mind, right? Once you look at something, if it doesn't look like it's working, exit it quickly, right? One thing that confuses me, though, is that, frankly, if I was debating Trump, I feel like I do a much better case of it than Cruz is doing or Kasich, in that when you look at it, we're talking manufacturing jobs. But why are manufacturing jobs at this stage of our economy, at the place our economy is in, holding so much weight? If you think about it, and the studies I see, for manufacturing jobs that have been lost, we're bringing service jobs back at a higher multiple. Meaning, if somebody in China is manufacturing something, we're trading with them, and it's coming in here, and it's going into Walmart, and somebody that might be lower down on the socioeconomic ladder is able to actually stretch their wallet by shopping at Walmart, right? That's helping them. There's service jobs being created. Money that goes to China ends up coming back to this country in the form of investment, which means lawyers, right? We're outsourcing now tons of legal. Our service economy has moved up while manufacturing has moved down, to the tune that the servicing side is muddling any loss in the manufacturing side. But nobody seems to be able to challenge Trump on that. And therefore, I have to look at this and say, at least Trump is gaining some traction somewhere. Nobody's challenging him. So if Cruz can't challenge him and Kasich can't challenge him, what good are they?
Well, I think there's two economic forces here that are working in Trump's favor and against the argument you just made. The first is that we have seen historically anemic job creation for the entirety of the 21st century, not just in the recovery, you know this, but not just in the recovery from the recession, the 2000s were just really bad for job creation. And so a lot of Americans feel like, and there was very little wage growth. And so there's a lot of, and net, we're still at the median income that we had in 2008 now. So on net, a lot of Americans don't feel like they've gotten ahead, and they don't see the benefits of trade as having gotten them a better job. They've gotten some cheaper products, but not a better job. Mm-hmm. The second problem, and I think this is the one that Trump has really tapped into, is it's different people often who are taking those service jobs that have lost the manufacturing jobs. That there is a certain class of a worker, particularly workers who did not go on to school after high school, did not go on to community college, did not go on to a four-year college, did not get advanced job training. Those workers have really suffered as those manufacturing jobs went away. Those jobs were their ticket to the middle class. They don't have them anymore. They're caught out. And that's Trump's base. If you look at who he's appealing to, who's voting for him, who's showing up, that's a big part of it. And so I think that that is why it's been hard to dislodge Trump on this. But I also agree that, you know, Cruz is not making a very pro-trade case in this campaign, which is surprising for such a traditional conservative, economic conservative. He's against the Trans-Pacific Partnership trade agreement that's pending in Congress right now. He is not out, you know, making the case for freer people and freer markets, as the saying goes. And so I think that because of these populist undertones of the race, or overtones, really, that Trump has tapped into, his rivals have been shy about standing up for what we would think of as traditional pro-trade arguments.
No doubt about it. And you can get into what some would argue our education system is really failing the people, right? It's not preparing them for what is warp change in our economy. And I would argue that that technology, Silicon Valley, has done more to diminish manufacturing jobs than China, right? If you can go to a Ford assembly line today, you're seeing all kinds of robotics. You can even go into an Amazon warehouse and look at robots moving pallets around, right, which would have in the past been done on a human front, right? So I know for somebody with five kids, and I try to educate my kids on what the future of the job market will look like, well, somebody's going to have to repair these robots, right, that are doing the work that a laborer would have done in the past. Also, and Trump may know this, I'm sure he does, being a business owner, that it's very, very difficult in today's world with so much overhang of what it takes to have an employee, the cost to an employee, not just what you pay him, but all the regulatory stuff you have to deal with, and what you have to pay in for one day if that employee's not with you, makes it very, very challenging to say, do I want to pick up as a business owner the unit cost of having an employee, or can I get more productivity off of a piece of software or a piece of technology? But again, it seems as if the easy target here is not you, not him, but it's the man over there, right? And you got China over there and Mexico over there. So aren't we living in such interesting times, and you're in an interesting place at the Washington Post to be able to write about all of this. But fascinating that Trump can get the attention he's getting, but yet we have other folks competing with him, competition with Cruz and Kasich, can't seem to put all this stuff in a soundbite to say, Donald, you're wrong. Maybe technology has something to do with it. Maybe the failed education system has something to do with it. Maybe it's not just China.
I would just add one quick thing on that. I think that what you just articulated is a very sound argument that that workers who have lost jobs have been hearing for a really long time, and that they perceive, at least when I talk to them, and I spend a lot of time talking to voters and workers like this, they just perceive that that's something that politicians say but don't mean that they're going to fix. And so Trump is different. He's offering something different, and to the extent that that difference is winning him votes, I think it's because he's given them something simple and coherent that doesn't sound like an empty promise from a politician.
Right. So Trump is doing what he needs to do to get elected, but I'm not so sure it's going to be that easy to slap a tariff on China and fix all the problems.
It's always easier to talk than to do.
Yep. All right. Yeah. Hey, thanks so much. Keep up the great work. Jim Tankersley there at the Washington Post. I love your work, and thanks for joining us.
It's a real pleasure. Thank you.
Take care. Bye-bye. Now, I'd love to know if you're on my side with this. We heard Jim. Now, my view is, you know my view, right? I'm not so sure. I'm not a believer that China's taking our jobs. A lot of other things involved. Love to hear what you have to say. Email me, steve@cfnplan.com, steve@cfnplan.com. These topics carry over. So we will be bringing them up for weeks on out, right? Because Donald Trump is going to be around for a while. And this is his big argument, one of his big arguments, besides a wall. I love for your input because I need to know where you are on the topic and present it to our audience. Twitter, @CFN, @CFNPlan if you follow on Twitter. So weigh in. Give me your feedback on Donald Trump and blaming China for what's wrong with our economy, taking jobs, manufacturing jobs, no growth here in this country. Is it truly China? Please, love to hear from you. Steve at CFNplan.com or on Twitter at CFNplan. Hey, speaking of Donald Trump, this week I was called into action. CBS News Channel 3. 6 p.m. news. I did a hit. Many of you emailed me and tweeted out and said, hey, saw you on TV. Alex Hoff had me on because, guess what? Donald Trump and Hillary Clinton share an address in Delaware. What does that mean? Are they avoiding taxes? Are they in cahoots? What's it all about? I'm going to tell you, good chance I share that address too. Keep it here on the Your Life, Your Wealth Network. I'm Steve Cardasco.
Hey, Rich Shilley here. My friend Steve Cardasco, financial advisor and founder of Cardasco Financial Network, is back with a new retirement guide called Your Plan to a Successful Retirement. This guide is packed with helpful tips like how to make a retirement plan work for you, how to successfully generate cash flow in retirement, and how to utilize great tax saving strategies. This guide also uncovers the best practices to reduce stock market stress, how to find investment solutions that match your risk tolerance, and how to bring comfort and clarity to your retirement. Whether you are taking the first steps to retirement planning and don't know where to start, are in pre-retirement and looking to accumulate wealth, or already retired and looking to preserve your wealth, you should get a copy of Steve Cardasco's guide, Your Plan to a Successful Retirement, and it's totally free. Get your copy right now at cfnplan.com. That's CFN, N as in network, plan.com. Go right now to cfnplan.com.
And welcome back to the Your Life, Your Wealth Network. I'm Steve Cardasco. Boy, fast show today, huh? How about it? So you got a little homework assignment. Love for you to weigh in and tell me what you think. A lot of topics on the board. We have Teresa Garaducci saying the 401k system is broken. We need a new program. You can go and read about it. Go to the Philadelphia Business Journal, right? Just go Google search it, Philadelphia Business Journal, Steve Cardasco, and you'll find my article posted there this week. I have another one coming up in a couple of weeks talking about online education and whether it's worth the price of admission. But right now you're going to hear more about this 401k system, and you can get my penned notes on that. Was forced to spring into action. Thankfully, CBS 3 is very close to my home office in Center City, Philadelphia. Alex Hoff reached out, and she said, Walt Hunter said, I need to call you. Here it is. We're on it. Donald Trump and Hillary Clinton, I'm sure Bill's involved there too, they share an address in Delaware. We got to get to the bottom of it. What's it all about? Well, truth be told, Donald has probably over 200 Delaware addresses. Hillary's got a slew as well. The reason being is Delaware is a state in which companies are formed, right? They get registered in the state of Delaware. I frankly have three companies registered in the state of Delaware. There's a good chance that maybe one of them overlap with the Donald and Hillary. Haven't checked for sure. Why? Because I don't check that often on these things. Reason is it's very easy. Delaware makes it easy to do business. It's easier to incorporate in Delaware than it is to get a library card in a lot of states, Delaware being one. Why are companies incorporating in Delaware? Right away, all the B-level news outlets are trying to sensationalize the story by talking about saying words like evasion of taxes. They create this shady overtone. There's nothing shady. Actually, it might be shady if somebody does not incorporate through Delaware. Now, look, before you start sending me emails, I get it. That doesn't always make sense to incorporate in Delaware. But a lot of companies do it. Why? Because it does make sense. It can make some sense depending on the state you're in from a tax standpoint. But not all states. It may not be worth the differential there. I think Delaware still has a corporate tax of somewhere around 8%, but sales tax doesn't exist, right? So you have no sales tax in Delaware. We know that here being local. At the end of the day, there's less regulation. And the court system's better for corporations in Delaware. They were brought up on it. And companies flock there. Why? Because of the easiness of it. So that's the question that Donald should be making from this towards Hillary. You and your DNA, your husband who was in office, and the side of the aisle that supports you and your constituents like bigger government. You want more regulation. You sign off on more regulation. But yet your companies are incorporated in Delaware, which is easier to set up and do business in. So there's my argument on that front. Hey, Jack Bogle in the news this week. I just mentioned him earlier because Teresa brought him up. Jack Bogle says we could be in for a decade of low returns in the stock market. And with that said, he said investors need to just hang in there and endure it. Don't give up. My comments as it relates to Jack Bogle, Mr. Bogle, we're 3 years into a bad market. So does that mean we have seven left? And what's the margin of error? So you never know where you are at the moment of time, right? So with that said, I agree with him, but it's not like we're sitting here waiting for it to start. We are now, if you take the total stock market index, we're back to where we were 3 years ago. So low returns, not much of returns. What I did like about what Jack Bogle said, he said, people are funny creatures. 5% is okay. No, right? He says 5% is okay. 5% is not okay in the market with zero inflation, but yet people would rather have 8% in the market with 5% inflation. So do the math. No inflation earning 5%, you're putting 5% in your pocket. 8% in the market with 5% inflation, you're putting 3% in your pocket. Why can't we see that? So to him, it's the people that are the problem. As we sum up, to go back to our original topic. Hey, thank you so much for being part of Your Life, Your Wealth Network. Really happy that you were part of the program. I really would love for you to engage me. Reach out to me. You can email me. It's real simple. Steve@CFNplan.com. CFN is in Cardasco Financial Network Plan.com. On Twitter, and I'm telling you, I'm a junkie on it. It's at CFN Plan. At CFN Plan is a real easy way to get me. And if you go to my website, that's CFNplan.com, please sign up, get the retirement guide. It will help you. I'm getting rave reviews on our retirement guide. Thank you so much for being part of Your Life, Your Wealth Network. I'm Steve Cardasco. I'll see you next week.
Thanks for joining us on the Your Life, Your Wealth Network. All of our shows are reproduced as podcasts and can be listened to on demand at your convenience. If you're interested in learning more about applying the principles we discuss to your personal financial circumstances, please visit Cardasco Financial Network at cfnplan.com or call our office at 215-558-3500. We hope you'll join us again next time on the Your Life, Your Wealth Network.